Look, let's get this out of the way so it doesn't come up at all on the rest of the podcast. But all right. Congratulations on the Bengals.
Yeah. Oh. Bengals, Bengals, Bengals.
I thought we were football about to stuff. Have like a baby football announcement stuff. Just then, and I was mad. You didn't tell me.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't. I had to find out in podcast
Congratulations,
recording.
You're having a baby.
Wait, what?
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always. Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pre-successful.
And it's pre-successful.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's I heard you got
much
a question.
Controversy.
I did, yeah. I was approached by a fan, if I flatter myself. No, probably
you
not.
You should, yeah. A fan of the podcast.
Right,
not
a fan of
you
the podcast.
Personally.
Probably not of me personally.
what was the debate?
Is it pre-successful or pretty successful?
Mm.
Which really changes the tone of that
intro.
If it's pretty successful.
I'm pretty successful.
Sort of bragging about my success.
Just gonna lay it out there.
Still right. Pretty successful.
Right. Yeah. I still am not successful, so it's still pre.
Pre.
Yeah.
P-R-E. As
pre
in
successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a pretty good following of tens of listeners.
That's
so
right. We've got a pretty good podcast coming for you today.
Yeah,
a pre-good podcast, if you will.
Yeah.
Pre-good.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if it's we haven't even recorded
it
yet, so
who knows?
It's pre-good.
It's up in the air.
Anybody's game.
Schrodinger's podcast.
Schrodinger's podcast. Yeah,
wow,
I was about,
you
beat me. Yeah, we are back in the Bible.
I was like, we were all here last week. Where did we go?
in the Bible.
Back in the Bible. Okay.
Yep.
All right, first Monday of the month.
Yeah.
Bible.
Coming at you with a new gospel.
Matthew.
Ooh.
But first, we're going to do some news.
The first of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Bible
there
nerd.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Bible nerd thing to know that Matthew's first in the New Testament. All right.
Man eats raw meat for 80 days to see if he can survive.
And?
Did he?
Still alive.
All right.
What kind of raw meat?
Yeah. Was it chicken? Because I hear chicken's
sushi.
The one that'll really get you.
Yeah.
Sushi should not count in this category.
Right.
So he has an Instagram called The Raw Meat Experience.
Sure.
Oh,
not looking that up.
Yeah. Careful when you Google that. Yeah.
Yeah. Safe search. Right.
Yeah. Please
yeah.
do not look that up.
Eating raw eggs, raw milk, and raw meat.
Raw milk?
Yeah,
okay.
Like fresh?
Not pasteurized?
Not pasteurized.
Straight out of the
like
cow?
Everybody but people in the U.S. do that anyway. So.
Yeah. It's more shelf stable, so.
More shelf stable without pasteurization?
Yeah, you don't have to refrigerate
natural,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So what does he eat?
Sure, because cows don't walk around refrigerating that all the time. They're just
raw steak, chicken, eggs, fish, liver, ground beef.
All right, so I'll say this. A lot of people eat raw steak, like they do like the steak tartares and things like
disgusting.
That.
But yes, it is a thing.
But that's
it's
a thing.
Thing. Yeah.
But theoretically, I think like you marinate it with stuff that like cooks
like
it without cooking. Yeah, it like kills the stuff without cooking it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works. This is weird. I don't like this. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's get
the raw chicken. Yeah. And the liver is the most troubling to me.
I feel like I'm getting food poisoning just talking about this. So let's move on.
He does look a little bit ill. Yeah. He's a
going to be okay.
So here's a real question, though.
Nope.
Not what meat is he eating, but why.
To see if he can survive. Yeah.
Science.
Right. Science is
he's bored.
According to him.
COVID's been rough.
Yeah.
According to
what can I do now? I guess
to
I
Mr.
Raw
Meat, about a year ago, he started studying nutrition due to having some health issues. He first went on a plant-based diet.
At no point in his nutrition studies did they say cook the meat. Was that part of the studies that he had?
Yeah. He was living off kale shakes, hummus,
sure.
et cetera.
Oh, I like hummus.
Yeah. To find a magical thing that would help. And this friend, a friend sent him some info on someone who used meat to heal.
This friend doesn't actually like him.
Yeah.
Meat healing.
He said, I thought it was dumb, but I kept watching similar stuff and became addicted to the topic.
Oh.
And so when I started eating steak and
all
eggs.
All the things to be addicted to
for breakfast.
It's a new one, a meat addiction.
Yeah.
No, an addiction to reading
healing.
About. Yeah,
yeah,
meat healing. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. What do you think? Do you want to do an all meat diet?
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, all meat. All meat, sure, but not all raw meat. Like,
yeah. All meat is just keto. So.
Right, that's fine. I'll eat, I'll eat bacon and steak at every meal. That's fine, but.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, raw. This is insane. Like, this is crazy town to eat raw.
But he
meat.
Did live, so.
He is still alive.
How? Okay, but is he in better shape now than he was before he started?
Was he healed?
You know, according to him, yes.
That doesn't seem
anecdotal
like,
evidence. Yeah. Throw it out.
Yeah. Well, I've got another food story. This was really just to do an intro here. Because if raw meat, because I want to get you, like, what sounds less appealing to you? Raw meat or this next thing?
Okay.
Why are we doing this? Listeners,
so nervous
I'm
right
so
now.
Sorry.
Yeah. McDonald's.
Oh.
has introduced a few menu hacks.
If there's raw meat at McDonald's, I'm not eating it.
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be meat, so shouldn't worry too much about it.
Yep.
All right, so these are the four new menu hacks that you can order at McDonald's.
Menu hacks? What is a menu hack?
It's like the secret menu at Torchy's.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what a menu
hack? Like where you order it trashy.
In-N-Out, yeah.
Okay, so it's like an off-menu order item?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All
right. So first, the hash brown McMuffin, what do you think that is?
I'm hoping that's a hash brown inside of a muffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a McMuffin sandwich with a hash brown inside of it.
I'd eat that.
That sounds good. Yeah,
yeah. Some muffin inside of it. What I'd really like, though, is two hash browns with a piece of sausage in it. Can I get that, where the hash browns replace
like
the bread?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I want.
It's like the opposite of a lettuce wrap.
Yes. That's what I want.
Okay. There's the crunchy double. That would be a double cheeseburger with a bed of nuggets inside of it with barbecue sauce.
Oh. It seems unnecessary. I mean, would I eat it?
Probably.
I would probably eat it, but
I would try it.
Yeah, but it's unnecessary. No. I probably wouldn't do it for McDonald's because I don't like their burgers.
Okay, what about the surf and turf?
I don't want any surf from McDonald's.
Yeah. Surf and turf, hold the surf.
That's right. What is the surf?
The turf is already suspect. So
McDonald's doesn't serve surf, so this is concerning.
They do. They have a fillet of fish.
Oh, they do. Okay,
so that's a double cheeseburger with a fillet of fish
stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle.
All right.
No.
I mean, yeah, right. I would not eat it, but okay. At least it's like on their menu.
And then finally, the land, air, and sea.
Land, air, and sea. Okay. So we've got.
So we got the fish fillet. We got chicken nuggets, and we've got.
Yeah, you
got
to make chicken, fish fillet, and a Big Mac. All
stacked together.
Stacked together.
Lord.
So the theory is that if I go up to McDonald's right here in the Woodlands, I drive up and I say, I want the land, air, and sea. They're supposed to know what I mean.
That is correct.
What do I get if they don't?
Whatever the employee thinks that means.
Right.
I feel like there should be a prize for me.
But here's the thing.
Like a Happy Meal prize?
They will just give you those things individually and you have to assemble it yourself.
So if I order the land, air, and sea, they just give
you. You will get three sandwiches and you have to take the meat.
But then I've got three people.
What are you doing with all that extra buns?
Yeah, I don't need two extra buns and two extra.
Just eat a filet of fish bun with like tartar sauce still on it a little bit. So like, that's insane.
If you're gonna sell this as a menu hack, you should be building this for me.
I agree completely. Yeah. McDonald's, this is.
That's just lazy.
This is a party foul that you're not making this for me.
Right. Sure. I mean, is anybody surprised?
That McDonald's is being lazy.
Look, here's the thing. But if you're going to McDonald's, you're already eating out of laziness anyway.
Sure.
I want to do the minimal amount of work.
I'm not looking to assemble my McDonald's. That's
because I already know it's going to be terrible. You know, like it is what it is.
Yeah. What's that line from Tom Haverford on Parks and Rec? Anybody who puts sauce on the side is just out to get you. Drizzle it on for me. I'm not your maid. I think is what he says.
Oh, yeah.
Treat yourself.
So which of these would you most want to eat?
I would absolutely eat one of those over the raw meat, for sure.
Me too.
We're not supposed to pick any one of those
over the raw meat. The hash brown is, I don't feel like that's even like a thing that we have to add. I mean, that's just.
But obviously, we want that.
Potatoes on a muffin, or on a
Well, it's also got egg and sausage and cheese.
Oh, so it just puts hash browns on a McMuffin?
Yeah, it's a McMuffin with a hash brown in the middle.
Absolutely, I'd eat that. I want that right now. Yeah, that sounds delightful.
That's fine. I mean, that certainly is a nothing, you know.
So how do I order that one? I want to go get that.
What is it called?
Hash brown. Well, I think if you order a McMuffin meal, it comes with a hash brown. So you just throw it in the middle.
No. I want them to put the hash brown.
They will not. I know that you've understood this. The McDonald's employee will not assemble this for you.
Okay, but what am I supposed to order? There's like a code
hash brown McMuffin.
There's not a special code word.
I know. That's kind of boring.
They could have done better.
Yeah.
Like
the McHash Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
The McHash Muffin? I don't know. Yeah. That's something McHash. Else, I think.
You got to go to Colorado to
order that. That's state specific.
Regionally available.
Yeah, I think that name needs some work. Yeah. That's for sure. Because that's just like saying
compared to like the land, air, and sea or the surf and turf or the.
The land, air, and sea, I think that's a fun little name for it.
It is.
Especially. Okay. Yeah. So what do you think? Raw meat or McDonald's?
Absolutely.
McDonald's.
Yeah, probably.
I will probably feel equally terrible from both of them, but McDonald's is what I would go with.
Yeah. Like they both would make me feel sick.
Right.
But McDonald's more of like greasiness and
less likely to actually poison me.
I ate a full day's worth of calories in one sandwich.
Sure.
You know, like that's kind of more
in one breakfast McHash Brown.
Yeah. I'll try to get us here at the podcast a land, air, and sea that we can cut up and try.
Could each of us just have like one land, one air, and one sea?
Well, you get to pick the
we're
land.
We're getting three sandwiches anyway.
For the sea. Yeah. Nobody wants it.
Loser gets the filet of fish. Yeah.
That is the one you don't want.
That's true.
Yeah.
But so if they partnered with Long John Silver's.
Oh, no. Okay. Stop. Sometimes Long John Silver's connected to like a B&W burger.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I think he means A&W, but that's whatever. Okay. Yeah.
I'm down. Let's go to there. A&W.
A&W and Long John Silver's. See if we can get the land air and sea.
Go to your BMW and get some Long John Silver's as you order your fancy car.
Man, if BMW dealerships had Long John Silver's, I would be more likely to still not be able to afford a BMW, right. But I would go and hang out there.
A partnership for the ages.
BMW and Long John Silver's.
Together last.
Right. Well, should we talk about something that matters, perhaps?
Yeah, let's get into Matthew.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Mateo.
Matthew, it is the first gospel, not the first written.
No.
Second written? Sure, maybe. Why not?
Matthew and Luke kind of battle for second and third. Yeah. Depends on who you ask and at what day they decide to talk to you.
Who was first? Mark?
Mark. Okay. Mark is number one. Mm-hmm. Mark is number one, and then probably some other thing that we've never found, maybe called Q. We talked about this briefly when we talked about Mark, right?
So not like associated with Q Anonymous.
Not Q Anonymous. Also not the guy from James Bond movies, right? Yes. This is Q. It stands for the German word Quell, which is source. And so it's just another source that existed out there.
That
was probably just like sayings of Jesus. And so we think, you know, because Matthew and Luke have a lot of things that they both have in common with Mark. And then Matthew and Luke have a bunch of things that they have in common with one another that are not in Mark. And so we think that maybe they had another source from which they pulled those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we call that Q.
I was surprised to learn that they just did like an oral history, like passed it down and talked about it for the first 40 or 50 years. I was under the impression that they were all busy being martyred during that time frame. Mm. So
some people were, but you know. Yeah. Not everybody.
Was that like the fringe apostles? Like
that got martyred?
Not like the core group.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I mean, one, I will say, the history of Christian martyrdom and persecution has somewhat been blown out of proportion.
Oh.
Like it was bad, and it was definitely dangerous to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. But like, it wasn't like everybody but one lone person was, you know, martyred and died for that, right? So there were lots of people who were becoming Christians at this time, and those stories were being passed around to all these churches, because even Paul, right? I mean, Paul will write in his letters that I'm passing on to you what I've already heard and believed, and he'll kind of lay out, you know, the story of Jesus, but doesn't go into Jesus's life at all. Our assumption is that those stories were just being told, that these people who had met Jesus, who knew Jesus, they were going out and saying, this is what I saw, this is how I experienced Jesus, and this is why I want you to come and believe in this God too. Yeah. And then eventually they're like, hey, all those people are starting to die. Either they're being killed or they're just getting older because it's been 30, 40 years. We want to make sure these stories are preserved for longer than this time. So we got to start writing this stuff down.
Yeah. Yeah. The early disciples kind of all thought like Jesus's return was imminent.
Yeah.
We're talking like, hey, he's going to be gone. Like, hey, 2 years max.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Two, three. Yeah. Nah, it's going to be 10, or we're good at 10.
Right.
Yeah. And then it didn't happen. And so then they're like, okay, this is no longer a short term sprint. It's a long term marathon.
Yeah.
So we got to start figuring things out how this church is going
to conveniently be. The marathon had just been invented. So that metaphor worked out perfectly.
So Matthew written, 30, 40 years-ish after Jesus' death?
Yeah, probably mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe early 80s at the latest, but mid to late 70s.
And
Luke right around the same time.
Earliest traditions subscribe, like a guy named Matthew wrote this, and then, hey, there's a character named Matthew in the book.
That.
Is that
handy.
The same person?
No.
Well, maybe.
Almost definitely not.
I'd say maybe.
Being able to feature in your own books is pretty fun, though.
If you were going
to
feature in your own books, wouldn't you give yourself a little bit bigger role?
Yeah, I would. I'd be like, okay, so I can't be Jesus, but...
Right, that role's taken.
Who can I be?
I would definitely say whomever wrote the Gospels, the writer itself is non-existent for the storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's just a narrator. Yeah,
they are purely writing things down that Jesus did. So if it is the tax collector, Matthew, one of the disciples of Jesus, he is basically like, here's Matthew, and then that's it. Like it is not, we never get anything solely from this character's point of view. We never really leave Jesus and like get what they're doing and then come back. It's really not, the writer is not interested in those stories at all.
Okay.
Even if it is that Matthew, that Matthew is not concerned about his own story.
No.
And if it's not, I mean, then we don't really know who it is.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine either way. Like, yeah. So Matthew is super interested mm-hmm. in letting you know that Jesus is the continuation and fulfillment of God's story in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
very interested in letting you know that. Which
means we better have known what God's story in Israel was.
That is correct.
Otherwise, this is not going to make a whole lot of sense right. to us.
And Matthew, we're going to have a lot of callbacks to the Old Testament. A neat thing to read when you're reading Matthew is to see how many times Jesus references mm-hmm. stuff in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And as he references that, go back and read that stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And figure out like what's and see some interesting connections there and things like that. Because Jesus will just drop a verse or half a verse yeah. and then just keep going.
And it can be really hard to track that because Jesus will just do like two or three words and you're supposed to know that that's coming from right. you know, this place in Isaiah. And we're like, oh, shoot, I missed it yeah. again. Like there goes another one. <That's
laughs> yeah. So having a Bible that has those helps, that'll give yeah. you like a little, yep. a little tiny little letter next to those words mm-hmm. and it'll kind of give you a reference. This is what he's referencing.
Yeah.
Like that really does help kind of connect these things.
But even those, we'll miss some because yeah. there's debate about whether that's actually what he's referencing or not.
And for so, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
yeah. I feel like Matthew is definitely written like for the skeptical Jew. Like if that's his, yeah. that's his audience, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very reasonable to say that yeah. Matthew is writing for an audience that would have been primarily Jewish, would yeah. have had a very good understanding of the Hebrew scriptures,
yeah.
and he's writing to help them believe in Jesus as mm-hmm. the continuation of that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's going to have three themes that kind of like keep popping up that are his big bullet points. All right. Bullet point one, Jesus is the Messiah in the line of David.
Done.
Bullet point number two, Jesus is kind of like a new Moses.
Ooh.
And bullet point number three, Jesus is God with us.
Yeah. Emmanuel, in Emmanuel. Other terms.
Look at you.
I know. Yeah.
That is nice.
Yes. So those are the three things that, Matthew is going to pull out. And then we also, in the book of Matthew, and I found this interesting when I was doing my research, he's kind of divided the storyline into kind of five big segments that each conclude with a major teaching of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then we also have kind of an intro and an outro.
Sure.
And the intro is Jesus' birth, and the outro is kind of Jesus' death and resurrection. So those are pretty big intros and outros.
Yeah, yeah.
But like when we get into the life of Jesus, we kind of five big sections. And we'll kind of jump into those right now.
Okay.
All right. So first, and this is the intro, we have the genealogy into the right. Christmas story.
That's right, because Matthew really rips us into the story by sure lulling does. Us to sleep with yes. the names.
Yeah. We call that an info dump.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, right
and,
away.
And not the Christmas story as we think of the Christmas story, but the you know the wise men coming and the angel appears to Joseph, and it's all from Joseph's perspective as opposed to Mary's.
Yeah, yeah. I think just when you like think of the Christmas story, we get parts
Luke was a man too,
of Matthew, but most of it's drawn from Luke. Yeah.
Yeah.
But interesting, yeah, Jesus does have that genealogy. Make sure we got to reference David, because mm-hmm. remember, that's one of our big themes. But we go all the way back to Abraham, and I think this is an intentional thing to remind us that Abraham's promise is that his descendants would bless the entire world.
Hey, everybody.
And Matthew mm-hmm. is kind of telling right away, it's coming true in Jesus.
Right.
This is where it's most fulfilled.
Call that foreshadowing. Yeah. Did I get that right?
You did. Thank Look you. At yeah. you.
Yes. And in that birth, we have a reference to the Old Testament. Who's Jesus going to be called? Elise mentioned it.
Emmanuel,
which means God with us. And even in this, we have a intro to Jesus is going to be the new Moses. Hmm. That's a little tough to see, but Matthew tells the story of Jesus fleeing to Egypt as an infant and coming mm-hmm. back. So we have this character from Egypt.
Hmm.
Right then, immediately after that, becomes baptized. So they go Ooh. Into the water, like Moses goes through the Red Sea,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately goes into the desert to wander around for 40 days, like Moses, immediately into the desert to wander around for 40 years. So we're kind of like having very intentional parallel storytelling to kind of, you know, a good Jewish reader, you know, the skeptical Jew,
mm-hmm.
would pick up on, oh, this is like Moses, yeah. you know, this is kind of like a parallel of this kind of storytelling. Okay. And then those five parts that we got laid out for us, that it's coming up next, kind of parallel, in some ways kind of suggesting this is the new Torah, the new five okay. parts, you know, because especially since we're really strongly comparing Jesus to Moses.
Sure.
Or maybe even subtly, but for the audience of the time, I think it would have been stronger.
So the original Torah, yeah. first five books of the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're saying, oh, here, this Jesus is replacing, maybe it's too strong, mm-hmm. but it is continuing fulfilling that Torah with the new Torah.
A new Torah. Here's five new sections.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All much shorter than the original ones.
Much shorter.
I love that.
Yeah. Easier to read.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for Good. A modern audience.
The Torah abridged versions.
Right.
Genesis and Exodus are great.
Right.
Leviticus is
numbers,
tough.
Numbers is interesting. Right. and okay, you know, there it is. Deuteronomy's just there, you know, doing his thing. Yeah, so
this is like Twitter is compared to MySpace.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So part one. This is the announcement of God's kingdom.
Okay.
And
I was going to say, does that come with trumpets?
One would assume.
Seems appropriate.
And God's kingdom is kind of this rescue operation for the world. All right. So Jesus, right away, we're going to have a confrontation with evil. We're going to talk about, we're going to be restoring God's reign and creating a new family.
Ooh.
But not the old family. There's a new one. Because in this one, everyone can be a part of it.
Oh.
Yes.
So you're now
a blended inclusive family.
A blended inclusive, yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Jesus is bringing into a blended family. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want all of you in my family.
Well, maybe we don't want you.
I mean, that's reasonable.
You don't get to pick your family. So, you know, that's just the reality of. I guess you get to pick your new family, right? You can pick who you marry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
In theory, in our culture.
Mostly.
Yeah. 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 That's true.
All right. And then
you can't pick your nose.
Yes, you can. That's not how that goes. You can pick your nose.
Oh, you can't pick your nose.
And you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
A true friend, you can pick their nose.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, what's stopping you, really?
Come on.
And this section ends with probably Jesus' most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount.
I'm familiar with this one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Love the Sermon on the Mount.
You all know the Sermon on the Mount.
And at the end of this, we're going to talk a little about Jesus' teaching, since Matthew has these major sections of teachings. And we're going to come back to the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome. I love it. I think it's a brilliant piece. If you have a chance to study and read it, I think it's very rich, very worthwhile. Because it's all about how to live in this new upside down kingdom that is God's kingdom.
Yeah.
That is very different than you thought it was going to be.
Yep. I will say, you know, just as points of connection between Matthew and Luke, right? There are lots of things that are in both Matthew and Luke, and the Sermon on the Mount is one of them, except in Luke's gospel, it's a sermon on a plane. And I just like find that little detail that at one point Jesus is like on a flat space and gives this sermon with basically all the same stuff in it. And then another point he's like, oh no, he's on a mountain. And now he's
right. It's a little touch of drama.
Yeah. I just love that.
Where's Jesus going to preach from today? On a plateau?
Which like on in a butte? Maybe he did it twice, right? Maybe there were different crowds. He's like, I got my sermon ready to go. Right. And you know, here's my crowd. But I don't know either way.
Or maybe the author was like, doesn't,
is it
somebody
really,
somebody
is
thought it was a Matthew, thing? Somebody thought it was a plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Is that the important thing? Yeah. Yeah.
What is it called in Luke, though? It's not the Sermon on the Mount.
I think it's called the Sermon on the Plane.
Sermon on the Plane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus is like, okay, put your tray tables up. Fasten your seatbelts, everybody.
Please give us your attention for this security announcement. Your safety is important to us.
It's not that plane, by the way.
The nearest exit might be behind you.
Right. All right, part two. Jesus bringing the reality of God's kingdom into the day-to-day lives of people.
Okay, so for part one, new kingdom's coming.
New kingdom's here.
And part now, two, kingdom's a part of your life.
Yeah, into the day-to-day life. And this, we're going to get a section on a lot of miracles right away. We're going to say, boom, Jesus, healing the sick.
Look at that.
We're taking care of those that are broken.
Nice.
We're taking care of those that are scared.
Fabulous.
And in the midst of those miracles, we have these parallel things of Jesus saying, you know what? Follow me.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got these big things of like, if you want to be a part of this kingdom, follow me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like these big sections that Jesus is going through. And then that section ends with a big teaching of Jesus sending out the 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Teaching them, hey, now you have to start announcing this kingdom of God. And you have to be a part of this. It's no longer just to follow me is to be like me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how things we're going to say. And so that means you're going to have to do this without me.
Yeah, this is where we get the famous lines that you can go with no belt and no extra tunic and don't take anything with you. And,
are those famous lines?
Yeah, like when you think about the cost
of... Literally never heard them. So what? Give me some context here.
So Jesus is sending out the 12 disciples. Okay. He's saying, go to all these villages and towns and proclaim this thing. I'm going to go there, but you go ahead of me and proclaim that this stuff is happening, but don't take anything with you. Basically, trust that God and the people there are going to provide for you. So they don't take any money. They don't take any food. I don't think they even take sandals. They only take one pair of clothes. They don't take any sort of weapon to protect themselves, right? It's all just go and learn to rely completely on God as you proclaim the kingdom is coming.
Sure.
And what's interesting again about this section of the Bible, Jesus sends out these 12 people. How long are they gone? We don't really know.
Yep.
What do they do?
Early
we don't really know.
Unclear.
Like they just like all of a sudden he says these things and then boom, we're back together again. Yep. Like,
but when they come back, they say we did all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
They do say that.
They say we did new things and they're like, cool. Jesus is like, great. And then we move on.
And then he feeds a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one is famous.
Ah, see, there you go.
That is, there you go.
I know that one.
Yeah. And I think it's also a reminder that what Jesus is doing is not just a temporary thing happening in Israel. It is supposed to be a worldwide event. Mm-hmm. And that means there will always need to be disciples going.
Yeah.
This will always need to be happening. Right now it's these 12 men and then the surrounding group. You know, we have 12 by name, but there's mm-hmm. another group around them. But we're always going to need to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so part three, stories about how people are responding to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
And reviews are mixed.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, we got to, you know, some people are like, hey, 5 stars.
Yeah. Right.
I'm in for this. 2 thumbs up. Yeah. Give me that Jesus. He is the Messiah. They're very confident Jesus is this Messiah in the Old Testament.
Even if they don't yet understand what that Messiah means, they're very confident that Jesus is the Messiah. Yep.
And then some people, and what's interesting about this, is these are people that are kind of close to Jesus who are like, is Jesus the Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be John the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
his family, mm-hmm. like people that are right there. They're like, this seems different than I would expect.
Yeah.
Like they have really, really like, I like it. It's interesting. It's just not what I thought it would be like. And John the Baptist at this point is in prison. So he's like, this feels wrong, right? Like
right.
this yeah. feels like this isn't supposed to happen. Like I thought we were going to be like winning.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Like, and he's about to
he really does not win.
Yeah.
And he's about to die in prison. And he's like, yeah. I don't know about this.
Yep.
And then the religious authorities and leaders are very firmly no stars.
Yep.
Jesus
yep.
is not the Messiah.
Yep.
In fact, he is not only not the Messiah, he is a troublemaker. He needs to get out of this nonsense.
Anything truly worthwhile is polarizing. So
it's, you know. Anything truly worthwhile is polarizing.
Interesting. Yeah.
Do we need a minute for that?
I just need to let that sink in.
Okay.
That was a really beautiful line.
Well, I'll take a drink off mic here while you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people, what about things everybody likes? Those things are good too, right?
Sunshine.
Puppies.
I mean,
not everybody likes
not
puppies.
Everybody likes, yeah, David.
Everybody who matters likes puppies.
Ooh.
I do like puppies. I just don't want them in my home.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I don't really want mine in my home right now, so.
All right, then we got to do a new teaching of Jesus. Jesus is going to give us a lot of parables.
Mm-hmm.
And these parables are all kind of a commentary on the different responses to Jesus.
Sure.
So this we have Jesus, probably the most famous of these parables is a sower sowing his seed, and it grows up in different ways. You know,
do you know this one, Elise?
I do know this one. Okay. Thank you for checking in.
Yeah. And so when we're, as a side, we're going to go through all four Gospels,
mm-hmm.
And each time we're also going to kind of focus in on something specific about
right.
Jesus. Today we're going to focus in on the teachings of Jesus. When we get to Luke, we'll focus on the parables of Jesus. So we're kind of just like saying, hey, Jesus said some parables.
Yeah.
But when we get to Luke, we'll kind of really kind of dive deep into kind of why Jesus teaches in parables and some of our most interesting ones.
Right. Yeah. Luke is really a big parable. What?
Are we dreamcasting for these?
For Jesus?
Yeah. I mean.
We can at the end.
And a couple of the disciples. That's really, yeah. I mean, I guess we can dreamcast
Pilate. We dreamcast the entire Old Testament. So it feels.
Did. Yeah.
We did. You know. We'll do it at the end here.
Yeah.
So start thinking as we talk.
Woody Harrelson who are for we, Jesus.
Who are we, like which characters are we trying to cast?
Probably Jesus, Peter.
I feel weird dreamcasting Jesus. Seems inappropriate.
All right. I'll play Jesus.
That's fine. Right. You don't have to ask.
That's certainly not my dream, so that seems accurate. That's fine.
Okay. Part four, and this is where things are starting to come to a head,
mm-hmm.
because now not only is Jesus the Messiah, some people are mixed on that, but now we're getting mixed on what even is a Messiah.
Ooh.
So now we have like the expectations of who Jesus is going to be as the Messiah. So Jesus is doing the famous story of feeding people.
I know that one.
Uh-huh.
We do it twice in Matthew.
Once
we feed a crowd of mostly Jewish audience, and once mm-hmm. we feed a crowd of mostly Gentile audience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know we did it twice.
Yeah, we do it twice. Yeah.
Doubling up.
Does it? But okay, so the same each time? Is it 5,000 people and
no, different numbers.
Loaves and
I think
fish.
It's 5,000 and 4,000. So I mean, it's
same party trick though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. I mean, feeding a lot of people from a little bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a very much a parallel story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. And if it works, it works.
It does.
It's like opening the champagne bottle with a sword.
Sure. If it works, it works. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. John really gives us the fullest version of this story. And that's a really beautiful teaching on bread there as well. But that's a different podcast.
Yeah.
I love bread. Can we talk about it?
We did a whole podcast on daily bread.
When we get to John, we can talk all about bread.
All right. No. We'll dreamcast that one later.
Which guy? Dreamcast the bread. Is it challah? Is it?
It's your leftover bun from your fish sandwich at McDonald's.
Yeah. It's the rolls from Texas Roadhouse.
Ooh, there you go.
But now we're asking the question, who's the Messiah going to be, right? Like, okay, Jesus is the Messiah. What does that mean? Is this Messiah feeding people, healing people? Is this Messiah eventually going to fight for the people? Because when they thought line of David, hey, Jesus is kind of this new Messiah like David, that means grab the sword, lead a rebellion, let's get the Romans out of here, establish Israel as a new community, a new nation, a new superpower, and here we go, following Jesus.
Woo!
Yeah. And that's kind of what most people are kind of expecting. Yeah. Right. Jesus, this was awesome. Now let's get to the real show. Yeah. Let's get, you've been talking about this kingdom of God coming. Now we want to see it. Yeah. And the kingdom of God in their minds is going to be built on military leadership and a sword.
And let's be clear, this is including his disciples who are expecting this to happen this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Jesus,
probably the religious leaders, which is probably why they're a little nervous.
Yeah. Because they're like, what if this Jesus does lead a military revolt? Because things are kind of not too bad for the religious leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, they don't necessarily love the Romans, but
they're comfortable.
They're allowed to do their stuff.
But in terms of an occupational force, it's not too bad for them.
Yeah. And there had been rebellions that failed before. Yeah. And the, full strength of the Roman army coming on you after a rebellion is worth avoiding.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, because they're going to lose.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, they still will.
They do.
So Jesus does ask his disciples directly, who do you say I am? Peter, you are the Messiah.
He was ready.
The Son of God.
He understood the assignment.
Lord, to whom else shall we go?
He is, the famous lines.
You hold the words of eternal life.
And are these famous?
This is sort of famous.
That one's at least famous in my own mind.
This one's pretty good. And then Peter's like, you're the Messiah. So basically when we're going to start fighting people. So he gets it right, but then also gets it wrong.
Right. Because two verses after he says, you are the Messiah, Jesus says, okay, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed and I'm going to be raised on the third day. And Peter's like, no, that can never happen. Right. No one can ever kill you. And then Jesus says, my favorite line, get behind me, Satan.
That is probably a famous line.
Yeah. I know that one. Yeah.
And so, Jesus is saying, you're right. I am the Messiah, but it's going to look different. Because this Messiah.
Didn't show your work, Peter. You got the right answer. But
bait and switch ever. Yeah.
That's right.
This Messiah rules by becoming a suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in that Old Testament drawing, we're going to draw a lot from some Isaiah right here, which we covered on the podcast, and kind of highlight those things.
We did a whole episode on Isaiah.
I'm sure we did.
I think you were gone for that one. I think just Pastor David and I did that one.
No.
It was great.
Did you talk about what good friends you were?
No, we did not.
I was gone.
We don't talk about that in your absence.
We said we are perfect acquaintances.
We like it this way.
workplace associates. That's how we maintain our relationship.
And then Jesus goes to another section of teaching. And here we're going to all talk about the upside down nature of the kingdom. To really be a part of this, we're going to start being like Jesus. And to really embrace that means everything is going to be turned upside down. If you want honor, it's going to be gained by serving.
What?
If you want wealth, it's gained by giving.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
If you want justice, it's gained by forgiveness.
That can't be right.
Like this, so very different than everything else that our own human nature thinks it should be. So Jesus is really kind of laying it out there. Like, the Messiah will win, but only by dying, and you will be a part of that, but only by dying to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's pretty hard words of Jesus right here.
And I think at this point, a lot of people leave.
Yeah. And they're like,
I'm good. I'm out.
Yeah.
See you, Jesus.
Interesting that they're like on board with picking up a sword and doing a rebellion, but giving money to the poor?
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
Hard line.
Which is so all these people leave. That's ultimately why Jesus says to Peter, are you all going to leave also? And that's where Peter says, to whom else should we go?
Yeah.
You have the words of eternal life. And so Peter gets it, but doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he keeps trying.
Yeah.
He fights
that spirit. That's right.
That go get him attitude.
Yep.
And then part five, the clash of God's kingdom and the world's kingdom.
Clash of the Titans.
Yes. And so this is really all about the Holy Week story. Starting on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem triumphantly.
On a donkey.
On a donkey.
Not a big military horse. Because not a military leader, just saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really think about that, donkeys are really short and like round mm-hmm. too.
Sure. That was, they're not very graceful animals.
Super silly. I think do you think everybody was like, what is happening?
I think more people were used to seeing people on donkeys right. at the time okay. than perhaps we are.
Yeah, like how short? Like, is it like when you're like,
are Jesus' like, feet like dragging along? Or like,
are you like walking along with it? Like you're like on like a tricycle, like your
like
kids,
a balance
like bike. You're just like, like, is he having to like kind of like lounge? So yeah. his feet.
You can ride a donkey. People ride donkeys all the time.
Yes, my 6-year-old daughter, who's about 2 feet tall, rode a donkey this well, okay. past summer.
There are small, but like you can ride donkeys down into the Grand Canyon. That's a that's thing true. That people
yeah,
do.
Yeah. yeah,
I don't think your feet drag on the ground while you do that.
I think those are actually usually mules, mm-hmm. which is a cross between a horse and a donkey. And
oh,
much
so
bigger.
Are they taller than a donkey?
They are, yeah.
Okay, then maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
And I think
it seems unlikely that I don't know what I'm talking about, but I will accept the
I
possibility.
I just, in my
true.
Head canon, Jesus's toes are dragging the ground.
He's just secretly whispering, Peter, what were you thinking?
You're right. Couldn't find a single rental
donkey.
Horse.
Peter screwed it up again.
Right. What if that was one of those like PR accidents that like, you know, becomes amazing. Like you mean to rent the Four Seasons, but
right.
instead
you
rent
the Four
Seasons
landscaping.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Good stuff.
Jesus said, we're going to roll with it.
That's right. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to ride it out.
Yep.
He's like, you know what? I can make this work.
Yeah.
I'm the son of God. Right. I can make a donkey work.
He makes
work.
A statement.
Right. People are going to be talking about this for years.
Right. He's not wrong. So. And then the other major thing that happens during this first part of Holy Week.
I thought you were going to say the other major thing that happens during Holy Week. I was like, well, he gets crucified. There's no, that.
Yeah. During the first part. Yeah, we'll get in. When we talk about John, we'll talk okay. about the yeah. death and resurrection of Jesus. Is the cleansing of the temple.
Yeah.
Jesus goes into the temple. The famous story.
Yeah. Is, this is the favorite part.
Well, this is my first podcast episode, too. So we talked about okay. Jesus braiding the whip and premeditated temple violence, basically. Mm-hmm.
Jesus is definitely coming in saying, like, you know what? In this kingdom, this is part of my domain, this temple, mm-hmm. and I do not like how things are going, mm-hmm. so we are going to clean it all out.
Yes.
And basically it's like cleanses the temple, gets everybody out, makes a whip, drives everybody out. It's a pretty powerful statement.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this is also the kind of the, this is the end.
In Matthew's telling of the story.
In Matthew's telling of the story, this is like, there is, it's, The final, like the domino has been, like the die has been cast, whatever, how you want to say that, the final domino has dropped.
Let's put all the metaphors right. together.
Yeah.
The domino like, has been cast.
The domino, yes. Yes. That the religious leaders will move for Jesus' death.
Mm-hmm.
There's no going back.
Right.
Like at this point.
I have a theory from a former seminary professor of mine that I think is helpful for us to think about. Because Jesus had been in this like ongoing battle with the Pharisees for a long time. And he finally comes to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the power of religious authority is actually with a different group of religious leaders called the Sadducees. Mm-hmm. And Matthew makes this explicit that the Sadducees are a different group of religious leaders that have more money and more power in the temple, but are not as widespread. There are a lot more Pharisees out and around, but the Sadducees were the seat of power in Jerusalem. And so when Jesus comes into the temple and casts out the money changers, he's essentially attacking their money flow. And so from my professor's perspective, it's like when you attack the money of the religious authority, it's game over. Like you can go back and forth and debate with the Pharisees and talk about feeding the poor. Like, oh, that's fine. You're just a little country preacher. You come in here and you threaten our flow of money.
Now it gets
temple.
Real. Yeah.
And you're done. Because the Sadducees had the religious power to do it. And so when Jesus goes before the high priests, those are all Sadducees. And those are all the people who are like, out.
The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Jesus has his final teaching before we get to what we call Monday, Thursday, or the Last Supper, and then just death and resurrection. The final teaching, Jesus is going to really dig into those Pharisees again. Say, you know what? You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. And really, I mean, it's a pretty awesome statement here. Like, he goes right at them.
Yeah.
And
it.
It's long. Like, it is, like, you don't think, like, Jesus is like, hey, Jesus is anti-Pharisee. Like, he is just boom, 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 boom. Yep. Like, point after point after point, Jesus pauses to weep over Jerusalem in sadness that he's like, didn't have to be this way, but here we are.
Yep.
And to highlight again to his disciples, just so you know, I'm going to die, but through that death, I will be raised again. And in that is how God's kingdom gets victory.
Yeah.
And to parallel that, Jerusalem will also die, signified by the destroying of the temple, which will happen after Jesus' death and resurrection, about 70 AD. And in that destruction of Jerusalem, God's kingdom will also grow. Mm-hmm. And the one day will finally be restored in a new Jerusalem.
Right.
Where the upside down kingdom now becomes the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty powerful. I think that even the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple really pushes the disciples and kind of like makes, when we get into the book of Acts, like Paul, the more central figure, because Paul was going outside of Jerusalem to spread the gospel of Jesus. And the destruction of the temple kind of says like, we can't stay here. Yeah. Like the message of Jesus, if it's only here, is going to die like the temple was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so
though to be fair, Judaism did not die, even though the temple was destroyed.
Yeah, well, at this point, Christianity is not Judaism.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
Yeah, but I think it forces Christianity to become a spreading religion versus a planted religion.
Sure.
Yeah. And then finally we get to, you know, pretty big part of the story. The Passover meal, the Last Supper, the cross, the resurrection, and then Jesus' last teaching about what's going to happen for the disciples, how they're going to respond to this with his final, go make disciples of all nations. The famous words, go and make disciples of all nations.
All right, fine. All the words are famous except the words I think are famous. I see how it is. Real cool, guys.
Okay. That's and we kind of yada-yadded over that part because we'll really dive deep into that when we get to John. But
nice Seinfeld reference.
Yeah. What do we think of the book of Matthew?
I'm pro. Yeah. It is not my favorite gospel, but I think it's solid. I think there's really important theology that comes out of it.
Yeah. We don't need to give thumbs because, I mean, they're all like good. Yeah,
because it feels weird to not give maximum thumbs. Right. It's
feels,
got Jesus in it.
Feels inappropriate.
Yes.
Because really, when you think about like the life of Jesus, in our minds, we're all combining pieces of each of the four gospels.
Sure.
And like sometimes like even, you know, Pastor David preaches on the gospel very often. I talk about the gospel a lot. Like, even I'm like, I think this isn't that one, but like, it's hard to put together, like, which one does it come to? Because we're all kind of like dragging like the different highlights from each
one. And so many of the stories are in multiple gospels and have like one, you know, this happened on a plain versus it happened on a mountain, right? There's like one little detail that's different about how the story is told, but the bulk of the story is the same. So that does make it more challenging to keep it all straight.
Okay. So, real quick, I want to get into some of the teachings of Jesus.
Let's do it.
Spend about 10 minutes here talking about these things.
Oh, we've got a time limit. Okay.
Well, I picked out two.
All right.
Okay.
I think we were supposed to come with one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything about it, so.
I'm always prepared, okay? So.
I didn't understand the assignment. That's
That was a TikTok.
Yeah, I know. I did know that one. Look at that. I'm making a joke.
I didn't know that one.
Jokes
you didn't know. Wow.
I understood the assignment.
I'm not on TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok either, but they show the videos on the Facebook scroll sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or Instagram. Yeah. All right. Jesus, I think one of Jesus' most famous teachings comes from the...
I feel like we're getting pretty liberal with this.
Famous. Everything's famous.
I legit believe this. This is from the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm. Or the plain, as it were.
Which is a great, it's a great, great...
It's the Mount, because we're in Matthew.
Okay.
All right. It's long, so I'm going to read this.
The Sermon on the Mount is long.
Well, I'm going to read this section.
Oh. Okay.
You've heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Yeah, there you go. That's rough.
Got it.
But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go to 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. If anyone asks, give to the one who asks of you. Do not turn away and turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So there you go. That's in the Sermon on the Mount.
Boom.
And I think this is
tough.
Maybe the most famous teachings of Jesus. I think I think even if you are not did not grow up a Sunday school kid, this is permeated out there that this is what Jesus would say. Turn the other cheek.
And like love, that line in
and
particular.
Love your enemies and turn the other cheek are big teachings. So really quick, what do we think about this?
Tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, it's hard enough to love your enemy or to even like think about that, but to like think about the ramifications of turning the other cheek, that you're letting yourself be accosted, and rather than defending yourself, rather than fighting back, you are to let yourself be accosted again.
Yeah,
that's a really difficult implication, and you know it always seems that people immediately go to like the abusive relationship or like you know these sort of where like that's not what Jesus is talking about, right? You know, Jesus is talking about how do we engage in overthrowing an oppressive kingdom and to usher in a new kingdom of God. And the way that we usher in the kingdom of God is not through violence.
Right. You have to change the status quo.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. Which is what was so I don't want to say revolutionary, but it was such a big deal about the civil rights movement, right? We're mm-hmm. in Black History Month, and so we can talk a little bit about that too. Not that, we can only talk
only
about
in
it.
February.
It's not what I meant. It's on my mind because, you right. know, anyway, so, you know, Martin Luther King's big thing, along with others who were with him, was this active nonviolence movement. Mm-hmm. And that comes from Gandhi and from things before them mm-hmm. as well. But, right, so you would go through trainings where people were spitting at you and hitting you and things like that, so that they knew that if you were going to be on this march with us, you were not going to fight back, because they understood that that's where the power was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That to overthrow the power structure, that the entire world basically had to see that we were having this violence thrust upon us and we were not fighting back. And that seems counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people were hurt, a lot of lives mm-hmm. were even lost in that mm-hmm. process to make marginal movements forward. That we could debate that on another set. Yeah. That's embracing this teaching to its core. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about, and that's really hard for us to imagine having to do.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that is on the surface, you read that and you're like, does Jesus want me to be a wuss? Is kind of right. what it sounds like, right? Like, is being a Christian being kind of a pansy?
Yeah.
And it's not. In fact, it's not only, I think, and then sometimes we teach, like, actually, it's about being incredibly strong, which is true.
Right.
But I think in reality, it's saying, like, being a Christian means we do not value the same things mm-hmm. that the world says we should value, mm-hmm. even things that we think we should value. And that means what I do, I don't value my life
yep.
the same way that I did before.
Yeah.
I don't value my safety the same way I did before. I don't value my stuff the same way I did before. That it's not about being a wuss or being strong. It's about a new set of values mm-hmm. that I have to bring in. And these values are counterintuitive
yeah.
to what I yep. want in right. this world. That's why it's challenging, because it's not just an action, it's a restructuring of how I view everything
mm-hmm.
By these statements. And that makes it dramatic, so much harder.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like I need to go find somebody to punch me so I don't punch them back. It's I need to value my bank, my car, my life, my family differently.
Right.
And that is incredibly challenging.
Yeah. I appreciate you setting up this idea that we value things differently.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful for me in particular, because so often, I'm on record. I don't know about on this podcast or elsewhere. I'm clearly not a huge fan of guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't own a gun, never have any intention of owning a gun. Fine with hunting, go hunt, do your thing. But I do not ever want to have a gun in my home mm-hmm. because there is no situation that I can imagine in which me having a gun will make that situation better, right?
Mm. Right.
And so often the immediate reaction is, well, what if somebody has a gun to your daughter's head? And I was like, yeah, I don't want my daughter to ever have a gun to her head, but me having a gun and killing someone in front of my daughter doesn't make that situation better, yeah.
right.
right? Me having to live with killing someone versus someone else having to live with killing my daughter, right? I love my daughter. I want my daughter to grow up mm-hmm. to live a long and full and happy life. Me having a gun in that situation does not make it better, because I also trust in the power of God in that moment. And sometimes the power of God means that I'm going to move through this journey of grief if my daughter were to be killed. Mm-hmm. But I value that differently than just saying the most important thing is to make sure that I and my family are alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's a different value that we hold. Mm-hmm. And so fundamentally, I just don't want guns, because it's not going to be improved by me having a gun.
Yeah.
Now, you might come to a different place, but Jesus's teaching is very clear. What is it that we value? And I think that's what you're getting at here,
yeah.
Patrick. What is it that we value, and what are we really saying when we say that, when we make that value statement?
Yeah. So, and I think this, this came out in the news relatively recently. We talked about, like, should we talk about this on the podcast? And we kind of kicked it down the road and
punted, if you will.
Yeah. And I thought
that's our football metaphor for Super Bowl week.
And I thought, I knew this was coming, so I'm like, this would be a good place to kind of talk about this. So about 6 weeks ago, Donald Trump Jr. speaking to
DTJ.
Yeah, Donald Trump Jr. speaking to a group of, like, conservative young students.
God made two of them.
Speaking to a bunch of conservative young students, said this. And
where?
I don't remember. But he said this, and I made sure I'm intentionally pulling his quote in the largest one I could find.
This is the direct quote, the words of Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
himself.
Yeah. And he's speaking as a politician to other kids who are conservative.
To other kids.
They're young children. Well, right, he's like, I mean, we're all kids, right? We're all somebody's kid.
How old is he?
I don't know.
He's probably in this 40s. Okay, so 50s.
Older than us. Okay.
Yeah.
I just have no context of how old.
Older than y'all.
You said 50s. You're not in your 50s.
I think he's older than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
He looks older than you. Just so throwing that
you
out
wear it
there.
Well.
You
thank
do.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that. We've turned the other cheek. This is his words.
Okay.
We've turned the other cheek. I understand sort of the biblical reference. I understand the mentality.
Sort of.
But it's gotten us nothing. Okay. It's gotten us nothing while we've ceded ground in every major institution. And he's talking about, like, we need to, you know, culture war kind of stuff, like,
sure,
take back for conservative values, yada, yada, yada. Stuff I don't necessarily agree with, but, like, this is his audience.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, this definitely got picked up by a lot of Christian publications. Our good friends at Relevant talked about
it. They jumped on this one, yeah. Sure.
Yep.
We've turned the other cheek, but it's gotten us nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this was interesting. And I'm going to say something right here.
Okay.
He's correct.
Yeah.
That and I want to say that right now. If you desire political power, wealth, and influence, following Jesus will not get you there.
Right.
Ain't gonna do it.
Like that is that he. So you are right. If you are turning the other cheek and you want your political ideas to be voted in or to gain power by any means, you're not gonna find it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he is correct on that. Like now. What's wrong, I think, is to say, therefore, we should pursue our political ideals and power over following Jesus. But I think that I think is what's most interesting about this.
Yeah.
And because I don't think he's wrong, but he is wrong.
He missed the point. Like the moment that you think that turning the other cheek or that principle is about getting anything, you've completely missed the point.
Yeah.
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 It's about giving. It's about giving your cloak, giving another mile, giving your other cheek, right? It's not about taking anything.
Yeah. All right. Astute observation, Donald Trump Jr. It's gotten you nothing.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you expect to get something, this will not give it to you.
Right.
And let's be clear. There are plenty of times throughout Christian history when the church has not applied this teaching.
Absolutely not.
So let's
it's not just him.
Right.
and not isolated.
And we've dropped this ball for a while.
I'm going to be honest. Not even church history, I don't even go that sort
nope.
of plenty of times with me. I will admit, sure, I do not follow this teaching.
Yeah, but that's way too personal. We don't want to talk about
it. That I can say
the ways
gross.
That we feel.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean like I'm out there punching people, but like
I'm fighting back.
but it's natural to think somebody hurts me and I think about like how could I get back? Mm-hmm. Or you have all these like
somebody cut me off on the highway this morning and my reaction was, what can I do to get back?
Are you have all these like thoughts like, this is what I would do if this happens. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like, I'll be violent or I'll be violent with my words or my actions or, things like that. I can respond in this way that gets vengeance.
Yeah.
Even if it's that kind of like revenge fantasy, that means I'm not valuing the things that Jesus values.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I have one more.
Okay.
Okay, this one is also interesting.
Do we have another political figure to discuss on this one?
I don't.
Oh, too bad. We'll come up with one, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yeah, like,
they're a dime a dozen. No. Always doing something.
Political figures are always saying things. Yeah. Sure.
This is also Jesus here. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
Wait. Jesus has said to turn the other cheek, and now Jesus is coming with a sword.
Yep.
I'm confused already.
For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow of me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Yeah. So really quick, I think this is maybe helpful. The Sermon on the Mount piece that we discussed a moment ago with turning the other cheek is from roughly Matthew 6. Matthew 5. Okay, it's still in chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount, several chapters. It's in there. Where does this one come from? Do you remember the chapter this one's from?
I do not. I believe it is Matthew 10.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too.
Yeah.
And so it's important to note that we're progressing through the story, right? These two teachings are not back to back. Jesus is progressing through the story. We're progressing through those five themes that you laid out for us before, Patrick. And so we're in a different section of the story when Jesus is teaching that. Mm-hmm. And so holding the story within the larger context of the narrative is really important, because otherwise I think we do come away with it from like, wait, Jesus just told me to turn the other cheek and now Jesus is coming with a sword.
Right.
Do I get to have it both ways? And that's not Jesus' point, right? This is, the first one we're talking about, what does Jesus value? And here we're still talking about what Jesus values. We're just using a different metaphor to come about
it. Right. It's sort of two sides of the same coin. We're still talking about turning things upside down and switching up the status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, and we joked about this beforehand. Like, it's kind of funny, like, I've come to turn daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Right. Okay.
Right. Guess what? Yeah. You don't need Jesus to do that, all right? Like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, this idea of like, okay, if the kingdom values are you love your mother and father, mm-hmm. you love your children, you seek out a peaceful life with your family, Jesus is saying the upside-down kingdom, that is not the end goal.
Yeah.
And in fact, if that is the goal, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, not only is that not the end goal, that can't be the goal. Mm-hmm. Like, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't love your family.
Right.
Or you shouldn't love your kids. Or you shouldn't bring peace in the world. But when we elevate a good thing to the thing mm-hmm. is where we get into trouble.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big theme in all the Bible, that idolatry is not just like, you know, worshiping a wooden statue in above your fireplace. It's taking a good thing, elevating it to the thing, and then everything falls apart yeah. in front of that.
Yep.
So Jesus is saying, I believe he's using kind of extreme language to draw home a point
yeah.
that if you have this love of family over love of me, you're not doing it right.
Right. Because mm-hmm. again, what is it that you value? Right. Yeah. Where are you placing? And so even in that moment of the story that I was, or the example of the story, it wasn't a real story, the example that I was giving earlier, right? Do I value saving my daughter's earthly life more mm-hmm. than I value following the teachings of Jesus? Right. Which one do mm-hmm. I value? And you can have your own answer to that, but that's the root of that question is where mm-hmm. are you placing your value?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think sometimes some Christians out there have like interpreted this to be like, you know, anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Well, that means I have to take a hard line mm-hmm. morally. And if my son or daughter fail at these hard lines, cast aside, mm-hmm. pushed mm-hmm. out, because look, I'm following Jesus, right? It says right here,
yeah.
I love Jesus more than my son or daughter, so I'm kicking them out. And that's not what Jesus is saying either. You know, and again, I think Jesus is using an intentional hyperbole in a sense mm-hmm. To drive home a point that the values have to look different. And that value is not just as long as we're all at peace, then we're in a peaceful world.
Yeah.
And that's not the situation that Jesus is aiming for here. That it's not enough to avoid conflict. It's something different.
Yeah.
I think also it sort of turns, you know, that value of like, it's about me on its head as well. To me, that seems to be sort of central to this, is that it cannot be about what you want. You want a peaceful life. You want to love your family. It cannot be about that, but that doesn't negate your responsibility that you have to other people. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you cast out your son and daughter because you're not supposed to love your family. It's not that. It's that you love your family as part of the kingdom, but that's not your end goal for you. Yeah. It's about them and other people and not you.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So Elise is going to preach for us the next time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's good.
We can discuss my salary at the next person.
I can certainly say preaching on this stuff or doing a Bible study is really hard. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Because like you're having to bring in a lot, especially for an audience that is sometimes not really ready to hear this.
We've had that boiled
sometimes
down.
The
for
words
us,
aren't
right?
as famous yeah. as you think they are, and so you got right.
and it's awkward.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. But I mean, so much of that gets boiled down. I mean, growing up, at least, it's very cut and dry. Like, oh, this, you know, turn the other cheek and that's it. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there's no real discussion of what does this look like in
right.
context.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure it is hard to preach on it. Mm-hmm. And I will leave that in y'all's capable hands.
More so Pastor Dave. He preaches right. way more than I do.
Somebody's so. Capable hands. Right. To be determined whose hands right. those are. Yes.
I do have a recommendation, though.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we're finishing up, right?
Or sure.
We have anything yeah. else to say? I'm going backwards.
I could talk about Matthew for days. It's
me
fine.
Too. Yeah, I love the teachings of Jesus. Do you want to do any dreamcasting here, Elise? Do you have a dreamcast for Jesus?
Look, Chadwick Boseman, I think, would make a pretty killer Jesus.
I already said he should be Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah.
He's already been cast.
Dang it. He's just got that sort of like mild, but I'll tear you up kind of energy.
Sure.
I agree. I could feel that too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, soft-spoken, but like the strongest person in the room. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of feel yep. that. I think that would be, he's also dead, so that's unfortunate. But this is
dreamcasting. It is unfortunate, yeah.
Wow.
For him yeah. and his family.
Yeah.
yeah. But he's with Jesus.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I like Christian Bale. You know, I think he could
his,
do
as
it.
A, as where a, is she?
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
I like it. Let's keep it.
Sure. We'll go with it. Why not? All right. So you got a recommendation for us.
Yeah, I do. this guy named Sky Gitani. He wrote a book about the Sermon on the Mount called What If Jesus Was Serious? And I really like this.
I already don't like it.
So like the idea of like when Jesus is saying these hard, weird things in the Sermon on the Mount, like turn on the check, what if he's actually being serious to us?
Yeah, because and so not often just like we teach them
but we're not going to do that really. But what if we need to take those things seriously? So I think it's a neat and a little neat. It's not a hard read. It's kind of more like thoughts on like a section. Mm-hmm. So it's you don't need to worry about like deep theology, but I think it does cover deep meaning. So Sky Gitani, What If Jesus Was Serious?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. You've talked about this before, but the difference between us placing the Ten Commandments in like courthouses and stuff like that versus placing the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if Jesus was serious?
Yeah. What if that was how we structured our society and not based on laws?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
Much different to walk into a courtroom and see, turn the other cheek and love your enemies.
And if you sued someone for the coat, they're getting two.
That's true. I guess in civil law, you know, you get a lot of coats that way. I got tons of coats at home.
A real opportunity that we're missing here. Well, I think since we were making that joke, we're pretty much done here. Yep. So if you liked this episode, we hope you'll join us next week, but next month too, as we'll continue our walk through the Gospels on the first Monday of the month of March.
Yeah.
Whew, that's coming fast. Look at that. But hey, we hope you enjoy this and all of our episodes you can find at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And of course, send us an email. Let us know what you think about the Gospel of Matthew. Who would you dreamcast for Jesus or any of your other favorite characters? Or what do you think about the teachings of Jesus? Those would all be good things to send us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.